Now for part two, as they say in the movies. This second presentation will be about what we observed when we applied a common yeast to sticky cotton to see if the stickiness could be reduced. But by now, you know, I like to give a little background as to why we began this or that project. So here goes. The answer is simple. A project like this was on our five-year plan. At our location, we had a five-year plan that included in one of its projects the mitigation slash yeast decomposition project with the goal of mitigation of stickiness. And naturally, it's getting closer to 5 years. So this seemed like a good time to begin such a study. The reason such a project was included was not so much that this was a harebrained idea, but from a very early work on mitigation of cotton stickiness by three Indian researchers whose names you can find in the reference section of the paper, since I cannot even come close to pronouncing their names correctly. But anyways, in 1985, these researchers reported a method for reducing sugar stickiness by spraying cotton with Bichrorhynchia mobilis. But the authors cautioned against its use because this bacterium is a free-living, nitrogen-fixing bacterial species that was also gram-negative. Well, sure enough, years later, the endotoxin produced by gram-negative bacteria was linked as the causal agent of bisonosis, so not adding this bacteria to cotton was probably a wise precaution. But not mentioned in the abstract was the observation that Saccharomyces cerevisiae would also reduce stickiness to the point where the treated cotton became spinnable. Now, I mention this because a large number of people must have read this same article. Since our location has been involved with studying the problem of stickiness, we have often been queried about this approach. Now, at some point, we decided to look at this idea of simply adding yeast to reduce stickiness. First, we wanted to be able to provide something other than just pure speculation, and you know I love to speculate with the best of them. Second, if yeast could be used as a mitigating agent, there would be many advantages over other biological agents, since Saccharomyces cerevisiae is used every day for baking breads, sugar conversions. It's going to be used for making alcohols and so on. Heck, it's baker's yeast. This means that this is a relatively safe microorganism, and as far as bioremedial agents go, baker's yeast is cheap, easily obtainable in bulk, and stores easily. Hence, ideal to have at the gin should some sticky cotton arrive for processing. But before we sink a lot of resources, it seemed like a good idea to see if baker's yeast could actually utilize some of the sugars associated with sticky cotton. So what was done was to grow baker's yeast on 3-halulose and melizeitose as the sole carbon source. The rationale was that both 3-halulose and melizeitose are the main sugars involved with stickiness, white flies versus aphids and so on. Now, to test this, a sugar solution was added to flasks containing 99 mils of diluent to make a series of solutions containing 0.16, 0.32, and 0.48% weight volume sugar concentrations. These flasks were then inoculated with a suspension of baker's yeast. The flasks were then stationary incubated at 37 degrees for 3 days and then assayed for yeast population density. Now, as you can see by the table, when both sugars were provided as the sole carbon source, melizeitose did not appear to be utilized at a rate to show noticeable significant growth compared to when no sugar is added. On the other hand, in the 3-halulose solution, the increased yeast density after inoculation is significantly greater than the water controls at the beginning of incubation and at the end of the incubation. Now, this implied that 3-halulose supports yeast growth and is presumed to be utilized by baker's yeast or Saccharomyces cerevisiae. It wasn't clear when I showed this to someone else, but the starting water concentration was the same starting density with all of the sugar solutions. Anyways, so when comparing the starting yeast populations in water alone and after 3 days, the population densities are not significantly different. However, the population after incubation was about half what it was at the start, which suggests that without a suitable energy source, some of the yeast were dying off during incubation. Now, even though only 3-halulose was really utilized by the baker's yeast, we continued the project anyways. Well, I was on a roll. Okay, why is that? Well, it's simply because most of the cotton, the sticky cottons that have been sent to CQRS have usually had whitefly contamination, more so than we have encountered aphid contamination, or at least the ones that people have shown me while I was kind of looking over their shoulders. Anyway, we tried to reduce stickiness by spraying sticky cotton with diluent alone or diluent with baker's yeast. These cottons were incubated at room temperature, which is 20 degrees, and a second temperature range at 30 degrees. Now, after incubation, the cottons were assayed for stickiness using the mini card. The sticky cottons were the same 50-gram lots of sticky cottons blended from non-sticky and sticky cottons that I described in the first part of my presentation. And the yeast spray was made by suspending 1 gram of baker's yeast in diluent to make a suspension containing approximately 7.6 times 10 to the fifth cells per mil. And then 5 mils of the suspension was sprayed on each 50-gram sample of cotton using an airbrush at 90 PSI. The sprayed cotton was then returned to the plastic bag, and the bags were sealed, and all the samples were then incubated. At the end of this incubation period, the plastic bags were opened, the samples removed, and the cottons conditioned, and then the cottons assayed by the mini card. Now, two tests of the room temperature incubation and the two tests at a 30-degree incubation temperatures were made. In all the tests at room temperature, we used 7 lots, but we only used 6 of the sticky lots when we did the 30-degree, and I just wanted to make that clear. It's just because when we did the first set of tests, we found, well, there's no difference between these lots. Let's just save us some time, and we just crossed out that extra lot. Anyway, the treatment assignments were completely random, but we did cheat a little. All cotton lots sprayed with yeast was done at the same time, and all the lots sprayed without yeast were sprayed at the same time. And in each case, the individual 50-gram sample lots were sprayed sequentially based on its randomly assigned identification number. This was done for two main reasons. One, to save time, and most important, to reduce the possibility of cross-contamination. And the results of two tests were later combined for analysis. Unfortunately, the overall effect of using yeast to remediate stickiness was that no reduction in stickiness was observed. Now, the study began with room temperature, 20 degrees incubation, as a reasonable first approach since baker's yeast could grow at that temperature, and it was just my guess that a good portion of the year, most of the warehouses would be about that temperature. However, when the yeast were sprayed on the cottons, there was some concerns that maybe room temperature may not have been warm enough for the yeast to be effective as a bioremediation agent. But the problem is that even at 30 degrees incubation for 14 days, no stickiness reduction was observed. And actually, at room temperature, stickiness appeared to actually increase slightly. In both cases, there were the overall these are the overall results of cotton with different levels of stickiness analyzed together. Our thinking was that very possibly these cottons with high initial levels of stickiness would not be affected by the yeast application and may have been overshadowed by changes in the lesser sticky cottons. So we asked the question, could the yeast applications have been more successful in reducing stickiness of lightly sticky cottons? So to account for this, t-tests were done for each level of stickiness, and here are some of the t-test probabilities at room temperature. Showed many sticky lots with significant differences between the lots treated with and without yeast. But where significant differences were shown, the sticky lots treated with yeast tended to have a slightly higher minicard index than the non-treated lots. Sticky lots 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7 tended to be stickier than the non-treated lots. However, even though the treatments are significant, the increased stickiness would probably not even be noticeable or discernible, except for, say, lot 6, the difference the difference would be below a plus in a minicard rating. Now, the results from the 30-degree incubation were more encouraging. Sticky lots 2, 3, 4, and 6 had significantly different minicard averages between the yeast and non-treated cotton lots. In this case, sticky cotton lots 2, 3, and 6 had average minicard ratings lower in the yeast-treated lots. However, the reductions in stickiness, while significantly different, were very small. What is puzzling, though, is the higher minicard index from both the room temperature and 30-degree incubation. So what might be causing this? Well, possibly the presence of the yeast itself may have contributed to some of the stickiness. The approximate yeast density was about 7.6 times 10 to the 4th colony-forming units per gram cotton. And if unequal distribution occurred, then possibly localized areas with higher numbers of cells may have occurred. Although, and then there is another, though unlikely, source of added stickiness, and this may have been carryover. This carryover may have come from the emulsifying agents used in baker's yeast. Listed as ingredients of baker's yeast are yeast, sorbitan, monostearate, and ascorbic acid. But even though the amount of carryover is expected to be very small, considering the dilutions that had that were made, what may have been carried over and not utilized by the yeast may have interacted with the yeast and surface material of the cotton to make the surface slightly stickier. When we compared minicard values of the controls of the individual sticky lots and the minicard index values of sticky lots, which had not been treated at all, and the controls were the samples that had been sprayed with just a diluent, and the completely untreated were just not treated at all. They were just the plain cottons. The controls tended to have both lower and higher minicards than the corresponding sticky lots that had been untreated. So it seems that just the effect of wetting the sticky cottons tends to reduce and increase cotton stickiness depending upon whether we are dealing with the heavily sticky cottons or the lightly sticky cottons. So it is possible that differences caused by wetting the sticky cotton may obscure any effect produced by the addition of yeast, which makes the value of a yeast treatment more in doubt. And I'm just going to fly through my... Okay. Well, I'll just jump off to the summary. And I think you know what the summary is. In summary, laboratory trials using the yeast spray treatment to reduce cotton stickiness has shown that stickiness can be reduced, but where reductions occur, the improvements may not be of a practical nature to make the effort worthwhile. However, though, now that this approach has been tried, we are in a better position to discuss it along with other strategies of stickiness reduction. Thank you. Yes? Yes? I beg you.
The honeydew dots are in a solid phase. They are melting only about 40 centimeters. That is why the bone machine for Dr. Mitchell needs stickiness. So it may be that the biological chemical reaction can work easily when the dots will melt in higher temperatures.
Hmm. Well, in this case, this was whitefly honeydew.
Yeah.
Trihalula.
Excuse
me? He was looking at whitefly honeydew cottons. And in that case, the honeydew present is more of a syrup. It's not solid. Though
yeah.
So it is liquid. I mean.
Salt.
No, it's not thick.
Oh, no, yes, it is.
It's about 4 millimeters.
No, it's sticky on the mini card. That's what he showed. There's no heat involved.
The order of the mini card, temperature of the mini card is about.
Is that right?
I think it's closer to room temperature because there's not enough mechanical heat to have heated the mini card up.
I think that's the difference between a laboratory and an actual meal. I think that's always been the difference. But then it sort of the disconnect between what we can do in measurement.
Yeah, well, that is another aspect where the yeast application may not be too successful. And why I mentioned looking at stickiness between a 0 and a 1 is because in the literature, people have said that if you have a 1 or above, you are already going to cause so much problems at the mills, the cotton is not processable. And we came nowhere close to being able to reduce any of these lots to below a level 1. So, yeah, that. But you see that sort of relates to what's in the mill because they even though we the mini card will show it at a level 1, it would already be causing a great deal of difficulty at the mill. Well, okay, I cut that part out. When we started this, my big concern was after we sprayed 5 mils of diluent onto the cottons, my fear was that because we had been working with moisture content on bale storage, that maybe the moisture we're putting on may be dangerously high, and it was. It was on an average about 13.7. At the moment we spray it and seal it in a bag, that moisture level is considerably over 7.5% recommended for storage. So my initial concern was that this may be a bad idea on its own. But one of the things we found is that at room temperature, which is why I was kind of favoring room temperature, was that the moisture content drops like this. It was linear, but the moisture content remained above 7.5% for I think almost 1 to 2 weeks. And so we thought, well, great, 30% will be even better. Unfortunately, 30%, the level dropped below 7.5% in less than a week, about 4 to 5 days, it was already at below 7.5%.
Thank you, David. I'm going to have to turn up yesterday. They got run out of this room. I want to make sure I can wrap this up. I do encourage this discussion to continue out to the hall if you want to be interested in it. First off, I'd like everyone to join me in thanking all the speakers that we've had and the party members.